We're looking at Nehemiah chapter 10 this evening, from verse 28. We've been seeing that God did this tremendous miracle. The walls of Jerusalem had been wrecked, smashed to the ground for 140 years. And God called this man called Nehemiah to go back and rebuild them. And he did it, and the people did it in 52 days. And we saw that that was against a background of spiritual resistance. And some have said this book is all about spiritual warfare. And we've seen that Nehemiah did what he did because he was a friend of the king. And we've encouraged ourselves with this thought that we are a friend of the king. You and I, we are friends of the king. And that's why we will stand in the name of Jesus. So let's read on in the book, because it's not all about the walls by any means. So Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 28. The rest of the people, there's been a long list of leaders at this point who signed an agreement. The rest of the people, priests, Levites, gatekeepers, musicians, temple servants, and all who separated themselves from the neighboring people for the sake of the law of God, together with their wives and all their sons and daughters, are able to understand. All these now join their fellow Israelites, the nobles, and bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our Lord. We promise not to give our daughters in marriage to the peoples around us, or take their daughters for our sons. And when the neighboring peoples bring merchandise or grain to sell on the Sabbath, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or on any holy day. Every seventh year we will forego for working the land and will cancel all debts. We assume the responsibility for carrying out the commands to give a third of a shekel each year for the service of the house of our God, for the bread set out on the table, for the regular grain offerings and burnt offerings, for the offerings on the Sabbaths, at the new moon feasts, and at the appointed festivals, for the holy offerings, for sin offerings, to make atonement for Israel, and for all the duties of the house of our God. We, the priests, the Levites, and the people, have cast lots to determine when each of our families is to bring to the house of our God at set times each year a contribution of wood to burn on the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. We also assume responsibility for bringing the house of the Lord to the house of the Lord each year, the first fruits of our crops and of every fruit tree. As it is also written in the law, we will bring the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, of our herds and of our flocks to the house of our God, to the priests ministering there. Moreover, we will bring to the storeroom, to the house of our God, to the priests, the first of our ground meal, of our grain offerings, of the fruit of all our trees and of our new wine, the olive tree, olive oil. And we will bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites, for it is the Levites who collect the tithes in all the towns where we work. A priest descended from Aaron is to accompany the Levites when they receive the tithes. And the Levites are to bring a tenth of the tithes up to the house of our God, to the storerooms of the treasury. The people of Israel, including the Levites, are to bring their contribution of grain, new wine, and olive oil to the storerooms, where the articles for the sanctuary and for the ministering priests, the gatekeepers, and the musicians are also kept. We will not neglect the house of our God. One of my favourite stories, and I know you've heard me say it very often, but it really made a huge impression on me, of a company in the north of England that specialised in making drill bits. They've been making drill bits for 100 years, and they were the best in the world. But the company was falling on hard times because of competition from overseas. So they called in a consultant at a mouth-watering fee. And asked him to take a look at what they did. He spent a fortnight going through all their books and all they did. And this highly skilled, highly professional, very well paid consultant, finally after a fortnight, united with the owners of the factory. And he said, I've learned three things in my time here with you. The first thing I have learned is this. You make drill bits. There's a sort of silence. Apparently there was a bit of a silence around the table, a bit of an embarrassed silence. Yes, go on. He said, the second thing I've noticed in my fortnight here is that you don't make drill bits. Puzzled look spreads over people's faces. And he said, the third thing I've discovered in my time here is that you don't make drill bits, you make holes. And from that meeting, that company went on to develop technology to drill holes without using drill bits, using lasers. And it's now one of the world's leaders in high-tech drilling without drill bits. It's a market leader across the world. And I like that because you've heard me say it before. Because when you apply that to the church, a lot of what we do isn't what we do. Not really. A lot of what we spend our time talking about and doing isn't actually what we want to be doing anyway. It's not what we're here for. And it applies beautifully to this passage because it's not about the walls. It's a fantastic miracle that's happened. Wonderful miracle that's happened. The walls in 52 days have gone up and they're holding firm and they've got gates and suddenly Jerusalem has come to life. And it's a good place to live and people are beginning to move in and the city is beginning to grow and develop again. But it's not about the walls. I think a lot of preachers, I've heard a lot of sermons about the walls, the chapters in Nehemiah that talk about the walls and the building the walls, because it's a great story. But it stops there. You don't hear many sermons on chapter 10. But actually, it's chapter 10 which is at the heart of what this book is about. Because it's not about the walls. It's not about the prosperity of the city. It's not about national pride. It's about the presence of God in that city. It's about being a godly people. It wasn't just to build walls that Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem. It was to participate in the spiritual building up of a people. And all that resistance in the spiritual warfare, all that fighting the devil off, all that fighting the oppressive forces that were trying to disrupt and stop the building of the walls, they stood firm in order that once the walls were built, they could then concentrate on their core business, which was building and discipling a people of God. Jerusalem was supposed to be God's people. And we do this book no justice at all if we stop, telling the story at the building of the walls, at the finishing of the walls. I think a lot of preachers make the book of Nehemiah finish on an anticlimax. The walls are finished. Now we got half a dozen chapters of names and bits and pieces. But this book wasn't written to finish on an anticlimax. This book was written in order to teach us something wonderful and magnificent about being the people of God. It's a kind of mission statement of a book. Let's dive into it then. Let's see what the people promised to do, because they've read the words, they've read the book, they've read all about God's people and all of that, and now they get down to the hardcore of the business. What kind of people are we going to be? What kind of people are you and I going to be? So let's take a look at verse 29. We're going to be a people who honour God's book. That's the first thing. That they make an agreement. They decide they are going to be the people who honour God's book. We are the people of the book. We will obey the Lord our Lord. We're marked out to be people of a book. It's wonderful to be a minister in Penrach, because over the years our reputation as a live church has grown. And there was had an incident about a year ago when a crane driver was here, and he's working on a poncho project. And he's a Christian guy from South Wales, and he doesn't usually spend time here at the weekends, because his family was down there. So he was travelling home for the weekends. But he found himself here for the weekends. So on the Saturday night, he was down the pub down there near the pier, and he sat around the table with all these guys drinking. He said, "Look, I want to go to church tomorrow. Can you direct me to a good church?" And they said, "Oh, well, the good one is Penrach. It's up there. We got a reputation in the pubs. And how good is that?" But what's interesting is this. What I want to say is we just don't want that reputation as being a good church. We want to be a reputation as being the people of the book. The Bible's at the heart of what we do. It's in the heart of our Sunday services. It's studied in our home groups. And we study it again and again. We want to be the people of the book. It's not enough just to have the walls around Jerusalem. They had to be the people of the book. It had to be a place where the law of God, that the scriptures were studied and honoured. Before this, only a minority had paid more than lip service to the study of the word. But Nehemiah and his companion Ezra, they have set out to make sure that what marks this society out, what makes this city different from all the other cities in the empire, all across the world where they are, this city is a city where there are people of the book. That's what's different. They are people of the book. People of the book. We are people who honour God's book. That's the first thing they want to be noticed by. Then if you go on to verse 30... sorry, clicked on twice. This thing's got a mind of its own. There you go. People honour God's book. There you are. People who honour God in marriage. We promise not to give our daughters in marriage to the peoples around us or take their daughters for our sons. We'll come on to this in a later study. It was the era of arranged marriages. And the people had seen what happened when arranged marriages were arranged with people from outside the community. And they weren't love marriages, they were arranged marriages. And they'd seen King Solomon's whole kingdom come apart at the seams because of his marriages outside the people of God. It doesn't mean that people who are married to those who are not Christians can't be blessed. The Apostle Paul said, your marriage is blessed if you're a servant of God. And God blesses that marriage, sanctifies that marriage through you. But the people of God are those who honour God in their marriage. The key to this is this. We're the people of the book, but we're going to honour God in our marriage. We're going to be people who honour marriage and respect God within our marriage. That's what we hope to do. We're people of the book, but we're people who honour God in our marriage as well. And then on to verse 31. People who honour God in their commerce. They say very clearly, they're going to keep the Sabbath. All business people know that if you open 7 days a week, you make more money than if you open 6 days a week. That's why supermarkets have been trying to open on Christmas Day. Just can you imagine it? Having a day out of the 365 when you can't make money. How terrible is that? Yeah. And people decide that that's not how we're going to be. We are not going to be people who are only in this for the money. It's not money that's going to motivate us. We're not going to exploit our workers by making them work 7 days a week. We're going to honour Sabbath. They made the land have a Sabbath rest. They wouldn't overwork the land. There's an ecological side to this. But at the heart, it's not about money. It's about respecting the land, giving the land time to recover. Now, you could argue that the land will be more fruitful because of it. But that's not what it's about. It's about giving the land space, respecting the land. It's not about getting every penny you can make from your land, nor from your workers, nor from your business. In fact, loans were forgiven every loans were forgiven in the Jubilee year. And they just forgave debts, so nobody would have a crippling debt for generation after generation. And yeah, you know, the rich people would forego some profit. But they said that's okay. People who are rich, they will forego some of their profit in order to give space for rest and recovery and blessing. So we will honor God in our business and in our financial life. You'll see, God, you'll see we do business in a different way to those round about us. And when people honor God by worshiping, we will be a worshiping community, verses 32 to 35. We assume the responsibility of carrying out the command to give a third of the shekel. They set up a system whereby they can regularly meet to worship God on the seventh day. And that's what's remarkable. The Lord's day, the seventh day, is when God's creation talks back to him. Now, the parrots won't do it. The parrots only sit on perches and say pieces of eight and things like that. The parrots will say anything, but they won't worship God on a Sunday. You know, the monkeys are great. They'll play with you. They have fun with you. You can laugh at them. But they will not stop once a week to give thanks to their maker. Dolphins are cute, and they're intelligent beings, and they will swim with you in the sea. But they will not stop once a week to worship God. They won't do it. That is down to you and me. And what we do on a Sunday, we stop in the name of all creation and we give thanks to our Maker. God waited a long time till he could have on this earth a species capable of relating to him. And that's what we do on a Sunday. God's wait is over. We come to him on a Sunday and we worship him. We will be a worshiping community. And finally, we are people who honour God in our giving. People honour God in their giving. They dedicate the first fruit of everything to God and they give a tithe. And of course, because it's a rural community, the tithe is all about produce. It's not all about money. We're paid in money. None of us here earn our living directly from the land. So we all receive a salary. So we give a tithe of our salary. But of course, in those days, they had to arrange for collection of tithes and great vats of olive oil and all wine, all that kind of stuff, and grain. And not many of us have that. I have had that experience actually of pastoring a rural community, and people have given their tithe. Though they realised that even that there wasn't much I could do it. So if their hen laid 10 eggs, they'd sell one egg and give the tithe to the church. But one of my friends was pastor of the First Baptist Church in Campo Grande in Brazil. And one of his church members was a soya planter. And this guy, I mean, by soya planter, I mean, this guy had fields that disappeared from view. I mean, big time soya planter. And come soya time, this guy would give his tithe. But he said, look, I'm going to give my tithe in the way they did in the Old Testament. I'm not going to sell it and give the money to the church. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give a tenth of my soya harvest to the church. So every March, Pastor Jonathan de Oliveira would get a phone call from his church member. And he would say, I'm sending 30 articulated lorries with soya to you next week. And Jonathan would say, yep, great. And we'd then start ringing around all the grain warehouses to arrange the best price for them. And next week, these articulated lorries would arrive in convoy, and Jonathan would get in the lead lorry, and they'd go down to the warehouse, the almazen. They'd go down to it, and they would unload the lorry into the warehouse, and the money would go to the church. Kind of nice. We all said, yeah, you know, it's a bit of a bother once a year, but we could put up with that, you know, all these articulated lorries full of soil. So we are people who honour God in our giving. And what they're saying is, this is how we're going to live. This is how we're going to live. We're going to be people who honour God, who honour God in our marriage, who honour God in our commerce, who honour God by worshipping him, who honour God in our giving. And they sign an agreement with God. This is not a covenant. It doesn't use the word for covenant. It uses the word for agreement. And they kind of said, these walls, they're good, but that's not what it's about. It's what happens within these walls and the way we live. That's what it's about. These walls are enabling us to live in God's sight, in God's blessing. We're going to be the kind of people that God wants. And they agree on that. They make this agreement together in God's presence. Because that's what they do. It wasn't about the walls. It was about being God's people. And the insecurity and the poverty of Jerusalem was making it impossible for them to serve God faithfully. They were constantly under spiritual oppression by pagan people round about them. And what the walls have done, it's given them that ability to carve out the kind of society that they knew they should have had all along and hadn't had before. So they're going to honour God in their marriage, in their commerce, in their worship, in their giving. And they're saying to God, you know, we are going to be the kind of people that you want us to be. We are friends of the king, but we're going to act like it. That doesn't mean we're going to go around telling people off or you know, throwing our weight around. We're going to go around honouring people in a way that the king honours people. Because we're friends of the king, we have the self-assurance to live according to these rules. We can do this with the king's help. Because the oppression and the spiritual fight is not going to stop. We built the walls despite the spiritual attack, and the spiritual attacks will continue. And it's not, the walls aren't going to be enough to keep the devil out. So what we're going to do is create a society that the devil can't get into by honouring God in all these different ways. So you see what I mean about the firm that didn't make drill bits, it made holes. That's what this is all about. It's all very well having this structure, and we've got this lovely structure, we've got this lovely building, we'll be celebrating being in the building for 10 years in January, we're going to have a party to say thank you to God. But it was never about the building, was it? It was never about the building. It was about being the people of God, being the people who honour God by reading his word, by living according to his word, by living according to his standards, by being people who can stand up with dignity against the pressure of the world, against the oppression of the world, and saying, we are going to honour God in all we do because we are friends. We are friends of the king, and we will not lower our standards for anyone. Story goes on, and it's not all a happy story, but we're going to sort that out in another lesson. I'm going to invite the band to join me on the platform, but as they make their way here, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, as we read this story, once again we stand awed by the wisdom of the leaders, Ezra, Nehemiah, and the Levites. The way you raised up a generation of men and women who were capable of building a nation where God was at the center. And that perhaps the biggest miracle of all is not the walls after all, but the fact that they took the time to make an agreement with you, to nail their colors to the mast and to announce that they are the people of God and they will walk according to his ways and honour him in all they do. They won't be greedy. They will be generous. They will be faithful. They will be honouring God in their marriages, in their commerce, but in all their ways. They will put your word and the study of your word at the heart and resist and stand firm to all the temptations and attacks. Lord, what an example for us, Lord. This is the kind of people we want to be. We have to say to you, Father, this evening, that's the kind of people we want to be as well. People who can stand firm in difficult days, in corrupt days, in dangerous days, in frustrating days, in worrying days. People who will stand firm because we are people of God. We're friends of the King, and we walk in his way. Amen.